Okay, guys, this is Andrew at Gear Live. We are recording our first podcast for the website. Today, I am with Jesse and Oscar, two of the Gear Live editors, and we are talking about our E3 thoughts. Go ahead, guys, introduce yourselves.
This is Jesse, first podcast away.
This is Oscar. What's up, guys?
All right, and this is Andrew. Like I said, we thought it would be cool to kind of just go over our thoughts on the upcoming E3. There's a lot of rumor and speculation out there, particularly with Microsoft and the Xbox. We know they're launching the console on MTV on May 12th, which is a stray away from the norm, which is showing your new console at E3. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's a great thing that they're showing it on MTV first before E3. That's showing that they want to go mainstream with it instead of just going with the hardcore gamers.
I think it's a good idea and a bad idea, mainly because they're making themselves seem anxious because they announced this right after they found out that Sony was going to be the first announcement for E3.
Right, which Microsoft announced their show, and then Sony announced theirs, which was earlier in the afternoon. I don't know how long Sony's goes, but I know Microsoft's is ending at 1 in the morning. So I'm thinking there's going to be some overlapping. And if you are a member of the press, if you go to Sony's, you might miss out on Microsoft's. Unless you skip out early, and who knows if you'll even get, you know, to see anything if you leave early. But for me, I think the MTV demographic is pretty interesting because, personally, E3 information only gets out to those that read things like EGM, or that visit sites like ours, Gear Live or Playfeed, or, you know, any of the other fan websites out there. I don't really think that the average, you know, everyday Joe gamer is going to know what went on at E3. But on the flip side, MTV, you know, it's pop culture. And I think they'll have a much wider audience. They're already showing commercials on the channel. Do you think that gives them an advantage, or is that a negative thing?
Well, you have to remember that a couple of months ago, back in November, that they even had a special about Halo 2 on there. So Microsoft's already had a partnership with MTV for one of their products already.
Right.
And needless to say, they didn't need to do it because Halo 2 was so big. But I think that for hardcore gamers, they could have found the information anywhere else. But for average gamers who knew Halo 2 was coming out but didn't really take the time to look into anything, gained more information, which probably made them want to buy it more. Uh-huh. Which this could be the same type of idea with the Xbox 360, Xbox Next, whichever you want to call it, that, you know, they'll get more word out, and then the hardcore gamers will still get their information from the same sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm a firm believer about word of mouth when it comes to marketing. So, to me, a successful campaign means that whenever you talk to someone regular and you, like, ask them about this and what they think about the Sony PSP, they won't ask, what's that? So an MTV launch is pretty big to me, since it's going to get so many more fans involved. And what I'm curious to see is if it's going to be some kind of theatrical trailer, kind of like we saw with Halo 2, maybe like a Star Wars thing or something.
I actually didn't see the Halo 2 MTV special. What happened there?
The Halo 2 MTV special was kind of a lot of everything you might have seen on G4 TV, but with a little bit extra interviews and a little bit more information that was exclusive to MTV.
Okay.
There wasn't that much benefit to gain extra information versus other sources.
Uh-huh.
But like I said before, for the non-hardcore gamers who were just looking for information randomly after looking at TV Guide, they got more information than they knew when they started off.
Right.
So it'll be the same effect with the Xbox 360, going from, you know, you've got your hardcore gamer market, your regular gamer market, and just regular market. And since MTV kind of covers all three of them, it's getting the word out a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't see the Halo special, but I certainly saw the lines when Halo launched. And whether it had to do with MTV or not, I mean, Halo 2 has been a huge success for Microsoft. And, you know, if they internally, if they did studies that showed that the MTV special sparked Halo 2 sales, then why not go for it again? I mean, especially if the opportunity is there, you know, why turn it down? What do you think about the name, Xbox 360?
Well, at first, when I first heard it, I thought, Xbox 360, come on, that's a stupid name. But then again, that's the same thing I thought about the PlayStation. And look at that, now it just rolls off your tongue. So it's pretty much catching on, Xbox 360.
I think, at first, when you hear it, it's kind of an odd name for a video game system. Once it was rumored to be that, there was all the different pictures of a little spherical Xbox system, which is controversial, really, but I think what Microsoft's really going for with that name, if this is the actual name, is, you know, you're pulling a 360 on video games in general. They're trying to, without taking Nintendo's name, revolutionize the video game system industry.
Okay. I mean, that's an interesting take on it. I'm kind of under the assumption that you're going to have the PlayStation 3, and if they didn't have Xbox 360, it probably would have been called the Xbox 2. And to the average, you know, parent or casual gamer, they'll see a PlayStation 3 and they'll see an Xbox 2. And 3 is obviously more advanced than 2, so I'm going to pick up this thing because it's, you know, this is the third one rather than the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It might have actually been neat for them to make it just X2, but then again, you might get in a copyright or deals with the actual movie X2.
That was a movie.
But that would actually be a decent marketing idea, just because it's not the name Xbox, but it's a different name for
right.
a video game system.
Like, what if they call it the Xenon? Like, do you think that would confuse the market?
Yeah, it would confuse it because it's just that essentially has nothing to do with the original Xbox.
Right, okay.
You're going from one genre of a name to a completely different one.
Well, also, you can also tie in with the 360 with the whole immerse yourself into the game where you're a part of the game, which is like 360, well, 360 environment. Kind of like what they're trying to do with their Forza Motorsports that's coming out this week, actually.
Now, what about the timing? Bill Gates was talking at doing a presentation yesterday, and he kind of casually mentioned that they were shipping the Xbox 360 this year, which everybody, I mean, if you follow any of this, everybody that does follow this would have known that. Is 2005 too soon to be launching a new home console? Are people ready for a new console? I mean, for me personally, my Xbox is just fine. My GameCube is fine. You know, the PSP just came out. DS just came out. I'm kind of, you know, I don't know if I have the cash to be dropping on a new console that's supposedly going to launch at $299.
For money-wise, yes, it's a little too soon because, especially after the DS just came out and the PSP just came out recently, you know, that those two combined comes up to about $500,
mm-hmm.
$400. So
without having a game.
Exactly. And then whatever stores would add on to begin with.
Right.
So economically, it might be too soon, but also if they follow the trend of what they did with the original Xbox, is that a lot of people will get it as, you know, Christmas gifts or Hanukkah gifts. So it is early and not early. I still have this partial feeling that they're getting a little overzealous with their system, though.
Now, backwards compatibility, for me at least, That would be a huge deal. There's, I'm hearing yes, I'm hearing no. For me, if I could go trade in my Xbox, well, actually, I can't trade mine in because it's modded, but if someone could trade in their Xbox, you know, for cash at their local GameStop and pick up an Xbox 360 and just go home and continue playing the games they already have, that would be a big boost. I think, you know, it would certainly give me incentive to pick up the system.
I think it would be a big seller if it was backward compatibility. I have a whole bunch of friends that say that they will only buy an Xbox 360 if it's backwards compatible. If not, they'll just hold up.
Okay.
I actually have a couple sources that are 99.5% reliable on this, and Microsoft is at the point right now where they have no clue if it's going to be backwards compatible or not. They say they want to do it, but they're not sure if they're going to be doing it yet or not. They're, because of the system that they're adapting it to, they have a whole lot more work to put into it. So if they can do it in time, or in the timeline that they want, then it would be there. I think it's something that they really need to do, and I don't think gamers would be disappointed if they were to be at E3 and say, we're looking for this date, and then push it back a couple months because they wanted to make it backwards compatible. I don't think people would be upset at that.
Right. If they push it back, I mean, if we're expecting an October launch, at least that's what I'm expecting. If they push it back a few months, you know, into January, say it doesn't even make 2005, I almost think that's a big negative. I mean, people have already done their shopping. January is just barren. It has a history for being barren for the video game world. Games don't come out. Consoles certainly don't launch. Do they even need this big head start? Or is this head start gonna move them ahead of Sony?
Well, just look at the huge success that the holiday bundle had. I mean, they sold tons of consoles just because of that holiday bundle, and I'm thinking they're building up on that.
Mm-hmm.
First, building up some hype by launching it a couple months early of Christmas, but then you're going to have a huge sales come Christmas time and probably sold out. As far as PlayStation is concerned, I think they're turning the tables on them from last time, where the PS2 launched before the Xbox.
Right.
So,
if you look at how the PS2 launched, the PS2, in a way, pretty much changed gaming in general, because that was a big step in graphics and gaming in general.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big start on Microsoft. They had a good year.
Yeah.
To get their stuff right and get better games out. And Microsoft, of course, they had Halo for launch, which brought in a lot of business too. But at the same time, there you've got people sitting at home who've had their PlayStation 2 for a year or a little bit less, but they've still had that before their Xbox. So they might not necessarily want to go out and get the Xbox versus the PS2. Now, I'm sure there's tons of people like me who will wait at the store no matter when it launches, no matter how much it costs, because you love games so much, you need it. So, I just think that the Microsoft launch early will help them, but now that Sony has such a big following with their gaming systems, that you might have people sitting back saying, that Xbox is really cool, but the PS3 is going to be this much better, so I'm going to wait and go get that.
Uh-huh, okay. And lastly, for the Xbox, or the Xbox 360, our colony. I wasn't too involved in the original Halo. I believe it was I Love B's website. And our colony, I mean, to me, is pretty interesting. They just released another image today, which makes absolutely no sense to me. What's going on in it, but I mean, the colonies that are forming, we have one on our own site that Oscar formed. What do you guys think of this? Is Microsoft, I mean, they've been trying to keep this thing secret, and then this site launches, which is basically just throwing out pictures and, you know, specs left and right.
Well, like you mentioned, I Love Bees. I was actually a part of that for a little while. I Love Bees was a lot more involved than Our Colony, just for Halo 2. So it, to me, it's actually kind of a shock that Our Colony isn't as big as that. With I Love Bees, you would have to solve puzzles, but rather than just solving puzzles to get clues or whatnot, you would actually have to map quest longitude and latitude coordinates to find a payphone and go and answer the payphone at a specific time and even answer questions there.
You mean like in real life you'd have to actually visit a payphone?
Yes, I actually went out once or twice. It's pretty crazy. When I got there, it was too late because of work, but when you'd get there, you would have to answer a question. Sometimes it would be a real person, sometimes it would just be a recording. But when a certain amount of people answered the payphones at a certain time, you would actually receive an audio clip of a side story between Halo 1 and Halo 2, which doesn't pertain to the book either. Now, Our Colony is different in the fact where you just solve puzzles and enter in the information, and you get a picture, like you mentioned, like the speculation for the picture that came out today or yesterday is that it's an Xbox Live screen.
Okay.
It's a big promotional step, though, because it gets a lot of people involved and want to find out more about the system.
Yeah, it builds a lot of curiosity. People just want to know more. You give them a little hint, and they're going to come back for more. Now, the thing about I Love Bees is that on the theatrical trailer, there was a little link on the bottom that said ilovebees.com, which got me the initial start. Now, Our Colony, as far as I'm concerned, didn't have that. It just seemed to just pop out of nowhere.
Now, that's Xbox. Xbox 2, Xbox 360, whatever you want to call it, at E3 this year. The other, you know, Nintendo and Sony are also bringing their consoles, or at least I expect Nintendo and Sony to both bring them. Nintendo has been, at least from what I hear, on the fence about showing the Revolution. If Microsoft and Sony didn't show their consoles and Nintendo did, I would still be happy because I'm a big Nintendo fan, and the Revolution just sounds so interesting to me that I just can't wait to see what it brings to the table. Do you guys have any ideas as to what it might be?
You know, Nintendo hasn't been doing a very good job of keeping us interested in that and giving us little hints and clues as to what it's really going to be. All I'm really saying is it's going to be revolutionary. So,
what does that mean? I mean,
there's a lot of speculation about that.
What's revolutionary? Like, what? First of all, does a video game world even need a revolution? Is there anything wrong with it?
I don't think it needs a revolution. I just think it needs to be tied in more into your whole home entertainment system, which is what Xbox is trying to do, and PlayStation, I think, has been doing a pretty good job of it.
Well, my opinion, Nintendo fans will hate me. I've been a fan of Nintendo for a long time, and I think they really lost their reputation for gaming with the GameCube. They
certainly
focused a lot on making a family system, which is good for kids, because I used to work in retail, and if a parent would come in and say, you know, I've got a 10-year-old that I don't want any crazy games to play, you just point them right to the GameCube. But the problem with that, too, is that the games are family-oriented, and they won't really attract, you know, the older generation. With minus Metroid Prime and a couple other games, like Resident Evil remakes, they took their business from, you know, pretty much running the video game industry to being its minor part. They're the smallest of the three companies now for video game hardware. And if you look now, they don't have that many games coming out where you still see Xbox and PS2 games just being pumped out.
Right.
So for Nintendo to have a system named Revolution, or code name even, I think they would need to at least equal out to what the Xbox or PS3 would be, and have a more expanded title library for games.
Now, could that be why Nintendo thinks a revolution is necessary? I mean, could the fact that they're losing market share in the United States and Japan, and the fact that they're third place, could the revolution idea be more of an inward-focused notion than an outward one? I mean, obviously, video games are huge. It does more business than the movies do now. So, I mean, it's not like it's dying and a revolution is needed, but could Nintendo be looking at themselves saying, we need to do something drastic and huge to get our market back?
I think that could be a big possibility because, like I said, I used to work in retail in the stores. I was there when Xbox launched. They were sold out within 25 minutes, if even.
Mm-hmm.
The GameCube...
3 days later.
...sell out the first day.
Could that be because they were 3 days, you know, after the Xbox and people had already spent all their money?
That could be part of it, but for Nintendo to have such a strong history, I would think that that would have attracted more people to wait the 3 days and go and get their GameCube.
Yeah, I certainly did.
Right, but, so... I bypassed the Xbox to get the GameCube, and at first I was actually a little upset after I did that because the launch titles were not what you would usually expect from GameCube.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, most people who are a Nintendo fan base would probably expect a Mario game. Mario game didn't come out for at least a year after.
Right, or Zelda game.
Smash Brothers. The only game I got when I bought my GameCube was one of the Star Wars games, and I ended up trading that in for something else later.
Okay. I'm really hoping for something huge with the Revolution. I really want Nintendo to like just blow the roof off of E3, and you know I want to walk away talking about what they did.
Yeah, that too, and also they need to get rid of their reputation of a kiddie system. So whenever you talk around people like around my age, 20, 20-some-year-old, even teens sometimes, when they talk about the GameCube, you say, oh, a kiddie game?
Yeah, well, how do you get rid of that? I mean, they have Resident Evil 0, which is exclusive. They have the new Resident Evil 4, which, I mean...
But that's recent. I mean, you really need to, like, get more titles than just one... to like one series and that's it. And I remember when Metroid came out, Metroid Prime, I mean, it was so pretty big that people were considering buying it, and I bet if they would came out with more series like that, there would be more sales.
Yeah, that's true. There's only a couple of franchises on the GameCube that you can honestly say are geared towards adults rather than geared towards everyone, like as they like to say. But, okay, speaking of games, E3, the game that I know about, at least, that I'm looking forward to the most, is Zelda, the new Zelda. I love Zelda, I loved Wind Waker, I love Ocarina of Time. This new one looks beautiful. Do you think that this game, or, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think this game's going to be the game of the show?
The trailer for this was announced last year at E3. I saw it while I was waiting in line to see the DS. And I honestly couldn't stop staring at it. Mm. Especially compared to Wind Waker. I liked Wind Waker, but like we were talking about the system's reputation, it kind of looked like it was going along with that kiddie reputation. And if they're going for their revolution, whether Zelda's going to be on GameCube or their new system, that this is the title that would do it. And that would kickstart what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's launching on the... I mean, as far as I know, it should be launching on the GameCube this year. Probably around the time that the Xbox 360 launches. Will this...
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the article from AGM, that they have an exclusive on Legend of Zelda, and it does look gorgeous, and it does remind me of the original Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time for the 4, which I was a pretty big fan of. But again, this is wanting to remind you of years back.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to step forward, they need to move on, get a new franchise.
Okay, that's a good point. So you're saying, with the going to the realistic Zelda look that they have going now with their new title, it only looks like they're stepping forward because their last game was basically a cartoon, but in all actuality, they're actually going backwards to the N64 era.
Yeah, it's basically still, bottom line, it's a Legend of Zelda game. It's still the game that's been on every single system. What's going to make me want to go buy a new Nintendo system? I'm going to say, you know what, that's worth shelling out $150, $200, or whatever they
want
to
charge you.
Right.
Now, to tie in with what he's saying about franchises and what we were talking about earlier, is that Nintendo has, I should say, they're more adult games, or a lot of their games in general, have been franchises, and those franchises are ones that they have had for a while, or at least franchises that have had a loyal fan base, like Resident Evil.
Right.
And the thing with that is, especially considering Resident Evil Zero, is that most people who are interested in that are the people who played through Resident Evils 1 through 4, Code Veronica, and everything.
Okay.
So, I think the new Zelda game will kind of be a multi-purpose game, because people might have been introduced to the Wind Waker rather than any of the other Zelda games, like Nintendo 64 Zeldas.
Mm-hmm.
So people will be, wow, that looks really cool, and it's different from what the other one was. This is more towards what I'm looking for.
Okay. Now the other thing Nintendo has going for them at E3, obviously, they're pushing the DS huge. I'm hearing that there's going to be some sort of free online Nintendo DS service. I guess you'd liken it to Xbox Live for the DS, but free. Is this the direct? I mean, I understand they make a lot of money from the handheld side of the company, but should they be pushing this above their consoles, their home consoles?
I think right now that they shouldn't. First of all, the DS only has maybe, what, about 10, 12 titles out to buy right now?
Yeah.
Unless they're going to be announcing another 10 titles that will all work on that system, it's really not going to bump their performance, because everyone's either looking forward to the new system, Zelda, or even a really big announcement about the DS besides, look, we're coming out with an electric blue color.
Right.
If they're going to announce an internet service, especially for free, it'll draw some attention, but like I said, they need to have more stuff to tie into that for that to work.
Right.
Well, I think I'm going to have to side with Nintendo on this one, only because we haven't seen anything like this for, like, the Sony PSP, for Nintendo to pull something over a PlayStation 8. That's something pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's something that, you know, the PSP kind of seems like it's going to have. I mean, I don't know all about
how much work the gamers have to go through just so they can get online with their PSP and just click some links.
Yeah, exactly. Just to kind of browse the internet and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, if they can do it well, if they can do a DS wireless, what would you want to see in a wireless DS service that would make it something that stands out to you?
I would be interested in Metroid to go along with that DS service. You know, they've got the trial out there that came with the DS when you first bought it.
Right.
If they were going to release Metroid with it, that would be a big plus, because that's a really big popular game. Metroid Prime 2 was the first of the Metroid series to bring out multiplayer.
Right.
And to adapt that to the DS would probably be a big step for them because of the amount of loyal fan base to the Metroid series.
Yeah.
It's, like I said before, it's, they would just need to have something big. They need to have more games tiered towards everybody that would be able to be used on that service if they're going to announce it.
Right.
That's mainly what I'd be looking for.
I know Iwata's been showing off Mario Kart DS using the wireless... I don't know if it was using the wireless service or if it was just using the standard DS, you know, system-to-system wireless codec.
I think it's just using the regular system. I'm seeing that picture right now, actually. I think Nintendo needs to get something like the Xbox Live. What attracts a lot is that you can talk smack online. I mean, that's something pretty good. You know, someone's like killing you online, and then you finally get a headshot on them, you want to rub it in your face. You know?
And yeah, that's why I don't use a headset.
With the Nintendo DS.
That's why I don't use a headset, because I just get killed when I go online. All right, now Sony. Last but not least, Sony. PS3 is going to be at E3. I know virtually nothing about it as far as games go. I mean, we know the specs. We know it's going to have the Cell processor, which is supposed to be 3 times faster than what the Xbox 360 is going to have in it. Sony hasn't really said much other than that, though. I mean, are they just... It seems to me like they're just counting on the PlayStation name to carry them through this.
Yeah, I bet we'll see a Gran Turismo 5 with it.
You think we'll see Gran Turismo 5? It took them like 8 years to put Gran Turismo 4 out.
Yeah, well, they're just saying it's going to come up with it.
Oh, see, of course. They just show like a screen render of a car.
Exactly. Oh, I don't know if you've seen the Madden GT. What is it? Madden Next Gen, I believe it's called. So,
yeah, I saw that trailer.
It's supposed to come out with the Xbox 2, isn't it?
I don't know. I saw that trailer, the Madden Next Gen trailer, and I'm wondering, you know, what hardware is that running on? Or is it even running on a console? Or is that just a computer, you know, generated trailer? I mean, I've seen it. It's kind of hard for me to believe that. I mean, if it happens, cool. But it's hard for me to believe that next-gen games are going to look that good.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too. But then people are saying that it's a PS3 and Xbox 2. I don't know. What about that 50 Cent Bulletproof game? First, people were saying that it was going to come out for the PS3 and the Xbox 2. Now they're saying that PS2 and Xbox. I remember the same thing held true for Half-Life 2 for the Xbox 2. And now they're saying it's going to come out for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Are they just changing software or something?
I think the Xbox, that initial Xbox rendering of the car was done on the computer, especially since Microsoft just figured out who they're going to use for the video processor. And the only thing to keep my interest as the graphics are concerned was the, what game was it, Madden?
Right.
2006. That looked really nice, and that caught my interest, because if that was done on the Xbox, then that is really exciting for gaming. PS3-wise, I think they're being so quiet because they don't want to end up putting their foot in their mouth later.
Right. Well, I mean, they're not even talking about the PSP. I mean, you don't see, or at least I don't really see, much advertising for the PSP. I've seen the commercial where, you know, someone opens up a box and there's, you know, you're looking at their face from, I guess, the PSP's point of view, and they're just carrying it around and it's switching from player to player. I've seen that commercial maybe twice. And as far, I mean, compared to Nintendo or Microsoft, I mean, I see their commercials all over the place.
Personally, I think Sony is kind of in the same perspective that I'm at. You know, PlayStation 2 and Sony in general has so much brand hype across the board of consumer electronics that they don't need much advertising because a lot of their products are so good and the PlayStation 2 is so good. Now, I've seen a PSP commercial a lot, like maybe 10 times since it came out, which isn't a lot compared to a lot of advertising, but for Sony that's a lot.
Yeah.
And
well, I was expecting to see a lot more advertisement about the PSP before it launched. Now, as I said before, I'm all about word of mouth, and now I've only seen maybe 2 commercials of PSP. I'm not talking about just 2 in total, just 2 different PSP commercials, and I saw them days after it launched. Now, I remember having to explain to a lot of people what the PSP was, and this was like the day before it launched. I think that's a big failure on the Sony's part.
Well, the other thing is that you have to consider is when marketing video game product is that you also get marketing for the system when you market a game. You know, you see so much advertising for different games that are coming out, and always at the end it'll say PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, whatever. There's
right.
so much advertising for the games themselves, they kind of carry your campaign along.
Yeah, and actually, that's true. You don't really see, you never see a commercial just for the Xbox, just for the PlayStation 3, or PlayStation 2, rather, or for the GameCube. But you do see, which again makes me, leads me to just wonder what Nintendo's thinking, you do see commercials that are just dedicated to buy the Nintendo DS, or buy the Game Boy Advance SP, without even, talking about games.
But in regards to Nintendo, they didn't do that much marketing on the DS or the GameCube or the SP. The only time they really focused on the SP was when they came out with a new fancy color or the classic version that looks kind of like the original Nintendo.
Right.
And they've now got their campaign where you could, or you used to be able to, because now they're out, you would get this little mannequin hand to, touching is good, to go along with that campaign. But I didn't even hear about that until at least 2 or 3 weeks after that campaign launched to get the hand. And I'm a big gamer. I'm all over it. So for me to not notice it, I'm not saying I'm king of games, but for me to notice it, it kind of shows how little advertising they do with just hardware in general.
Yeah, I'm remembering the commercials where there's like, someone is holding the SP and the backlight is kind of shining on their face, and they're just pretty much focusing on that, like how... I don't even remember what the slogan was, but it was like they were trying to go, the Spike TV direction with the SP, and they weren't even really showing games. They were just talking about the hardware.
Yeah, for the DS, when it first launched, they had a little bit more of an advertising towards the more mature audience, because, speaking of Spike TV, actually, they had advertising campaigns on there where you see this beautiful lady walking down the street past a conversion van with 2 windows next to each other, and they would convert those 2 windows into the DS.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, there was a guy watching, and then goes into touching is good. And different types of campaigns like that, which actually contradicts DS in general, because most of the games are kid games.
Yeah, like Nintendogs.
Right, exactly. it just kind of strikes me as odd how they did that. But even with the DS, there was only a couple commercials to focus on the DS. In general, hardware doesn't get that much advertising unless there's something really special going on, like around the holidays.
Yeah.
That's when you see the most advertising for it, because like Sony, Nintendo, and Xbox, or Microsoft, will all put out some holiday package where you get a game or two for free.
Right. So, it's obviously the software that sells the hardware. You can make the best, the most specced up video game system there is, and if all you have is crap games, then no one's gonna buy it. Speaking of which, what about the Phantom? Are we finally going to see this thing at E3? Is this thing going to blow us away?
I saw it at last year's E3 and watched a couple people play it. It didn't blow me away at all.
They had games? I thought they didn't have any... I heard they had, like, problems getting online.
Yeah, there was only one or two games. They were connected to an intranet, so you could get everything from a server that was there.
Okay.
In case there was a problem. You know, they have to make sure it goes well.
Right.
But from what I saw, the Phantom doesn't look too special unless they come out with some incredible games for it. But now, even so, I think they're way too far behind the game anyway, because we're so close to Xbox 360 and PS3 that they're already far behind the game, because they're still basing their graphics and whatnot off of what they were expecting to release this past year, and they didn't do.
Yeah. Is this thing even going to come into fruition? Are we ever going to see this thing hit the market?
It might hit the market. Their initial rollout plan for when they were going to launch it was that you'd get the hardware for free, but you had to purchase the games for download, and I think there was a certain fee I had to pay.
Subscription.
For activation and whatnot. But it's, if they're going to be at E3 this year, I can't remember if they're going to or not, they better have a really strong presentation.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it will be much of a hit, seeing since they're going to have to compete against the big dogs, Sony and Microsoft.
Did I lose my connection?
Easy fit to do.
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
Nokia N-Gage, they sent me something inviting us to check out their booth.
Well, it's worth a look.
Is anyone buying this?
I think it's pretty much dead.
I don't know anyone that owns one.
Me neither. And when the N-Gage first came out, I'll say the N-Gage Q improved upon it. But when the N-Gage first came out, you had to hold the phone sideways. And you saw pictures all over the internet, like one of a PlayStation 2
or
old Nintendo system
side
holding
talking
up to their face sideways. Now, the quality on the N-Gage isn't really that good. But you can't expect quality to be good on something that they try to combine so much other stuff into.
Yeah, it's horrible. Well, I mean, not really. I mean, we have TV on our cell phones now with VCast. We have Evdo, which gives us, you know, DSL speeds as far as internet goes. Why can't they get gaming right?
Well, you're trying. Gaming, I personally think, takes a lot more processing resources than a download that will be temporarily stored on your phone. If you look at the N-Gage, you get the cartridge, and it should run mostly off of that. But you've also got the cell phone, your text messaging, and whatever other features it has. And that actually goes along with the Gizmondo. The Gizmondo, they try to fit so much different stuff in there. You can store videos on it. You can store pictures. It has a camera in it. And it has a game. And all of this is supposed to run off a little bit of flash memory and an SD card.
Talking back about the N-Gage, I mean, what's so different about just playing games on your regular cell phone? I mean, personally, if I'm going to be playing games, I'm going to be playing for a prolonged period of time, and if I'm going to be playing it with a cell phone, that's going to run out my battery, so when am I going to use it for what I'm supposed to?
That's true. Who wants to carry around extra battery packs just so that they can actually make a phone call when they're done playing Tony Hawk 2?
Exactly.
Okay, well that's pretty much it for E3, unless you guys have any other thoughts on anything.
The only thing I'm really looking forward to, which is another fan base thing, is Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children, and Final Fantasy XII. They showed Advent Children trailer last year, which was released on the internet beforehand also.
Uh-huh.
But the thing looks incredible. It's going to be released on a UMD disc, so for PSP users, you can watch it on there. You can get it as a DVD. And I played Final Fantasy XII for a little while. It looked pretty good. The battle system has changed. It's more real time.
Hmm.
But at the same time, it was kind of tough to play because I can't read Japanese.
Okay. Makes sense.
I mean, those are two things I'm looking to forward
okay.
to.
So, is that what you're looking forward to most at E3 this year?
Besides the new systems, yes.
Okay. What do you think? Who do you think is going to have the best show this year?
If Microsoft, same size booth as they did last year, they'll have a pretty big turnout, especially since they're planning on launching their system earlier.
Okay. So but you think they're going to have the buzz?
They'll have the buzz, but if it's like they did with Halo 2, the people who are going for just retailers and random things that aren't media, they won't really see the thing that's drawing everybody there. You won't see the X60.
Okay.
You'll just see games.
Right.
And that's what most companies do. Between the three major ones, I think Microsoft have more of a turnout only because they will be releasing more information on the system.
Okay. What about you, Oscar? Any thoughts on what are you looking forward to at E3, and who do you think is going to have the best show?
Well, honestly, I think Sony's going to do it. Why? Because of the MTV thing. Most people are already going to see the Xbox 360, so they're going to be like, okay, what else? So let's just go to the Sony one and get what they don't know.
Interesting. So you think that the MTV show might actually cause Microsoft to have less visitors to their booth because people would have already seen it, and there's no need to go check it out again?
Exactly.
For some.
Yeah, what
are you,
for some.
What are you looking forward to at E3?
Just the newest systems, I guess, would be the best one.
Okay. I'm
see what they can actually do.
For me, I really am looking forward to the Revolution. I hope it's there. I hope it's awesome. I hope it does something new and exciting that developers can actually get behind instead of turn away from, like it seems like some of them are doing with the DS. And I don't know. I'm hopeful that Nintendo will have the best show there, but something tells me that Microsoft has something really, really good planned. Assuming that the Xbox 360 is, you know, further along development-wise than the other two consoles, they will probably have playable next-generation software, and that would probably be pretty cool. So aside from that, I think we're pretty much done. You guys have anything else?
That's all I have to add.
All right. Well, that was our first podcast here on Gear Live. We will be back next week with something else, and until then, we will see you later.